He's a demon fighter. She's a head in a cage. Together, they fight crime. Hello, lovely listeners. Welcome to another episode of Not Just Tentacles, where I, Rachel, attempt to demystify anime. I'm well aware that I have delayed this episode constantly, and it is no reflection of the quality of the anime, because I firmly believe it is one of the best to have come out in 2023. I refer, of course, to Undead Girl Murder Farce, which was bizarrely by Crunchyroll referred to as Undead Murder Farce, but we'll not go into that. They must have had their reasons. Maybe they just thought it tripped off the tongue better. So, in case you're unaware of the setup, it's about Suguro, who is a part Omni fighter. Yep, it's a head fuck. Who has decided that one of these days he is going to try and kill as many audience members as possible during one of these fights, which is a bit dodgy to Western audiences, and it certainly put Ruth off when I told her about it. But this does not transpire, because instead he meets Aya Rindu, who is a beautiful and mysterious woman known as the Immortal, because currently she is just a head in a cage, because most of her body has been stolen by a mysterious foreign professor. And yep, I'm not going to bother making this a secret. It's Professor Moriarty of Sherlock Holmes infamy. And he's not the dishy-bishy of a Moriarty the Patriot either. This is old school, grey-haired man in a black top hat Moriarty from the Conan Doyle books. And yes, they look like the Sidney Paget illustrations. I know this shouldn't matter so much to me, but it does, because I've seen so many adaptations where everybody's young, everybody's hunky, it's set in the present day, it's set somewhere where they have magical powers. So I'm glad that it has Holmes and Watson done right as they're supposed to be. Okay, sorry about that detour there. That's not what you wanted to hear about. So Aya and Suguro make this deal that he is going to travel around with her until she finds Moriarty and he manages to restore both of them back to normal, or they kill him and then restore themselves back to normal, because he, by the way, is the one that turned Suguro into part demon. And to help them in their adventures, although very reluctantly in the case of Suguro, there is Aya's maid, Shizuku, who is a grumpy martial arts expert who also happens to be a lesbian. And this is not a throwaway detail. This is how she becomes embroiled with Carmilla, who works for Moriarty. And yep, it's Carmilla, the lesbian vampire, because this series does not hesitate to use legacy characters from all over the place, which is something I very much enjoy, but with one notable exception, and I'll speak about that later. So this is a very odd but very good series. It's a bit reminiscent of Black Butler. It's a bit reminiscent of Moriarty the Patriot. It's gorgeously drawn. It's well written, well acted. It is just a treat in so many ways. It made me feel, yes, I'm finally watching something for adults. I liked that. I liked that the murder mysteries were sufficiently challenging that you didn't work out who it was halfway through the second episode. I liked that you were kept guessing. And even if you did think, oh, maybe it was so-and-so, then you didn't necessarily get the reason why they did it. So I just thought it was just an exceptional series all round. And it's just so atmospheric. The music is great. The opening credits are stunning and show our heroes getting into various fights and situations. And in the case of Shizuku, a bit of lady love with Carmilla. So I just was completely knocked out by it. And I just couldn't believe how the episodes zipped by either. It did not feel like 23 minutes. They were just a treat. I never at any point got bored while I was watching them. The only time I would pause is if I wanted a coffee or just to admire a particular detail in the character designs or the backgrounds. I was just that much impressed by it. And I just loved all the interplay of the characters, whether it's our three leads and their strange love-hate relationship, or rather Sugaro and Aya love each other, whether that's going to be romantically or not has yet to be determined. Shizuku clearly loves Aya, whether they've got anything going on between them is another matter, because at one point she does say to Carmilla, I have someone with far more experience than you. And obviously being like 900 years old, Aya would seem to fit the bill. And then Shizuku hates Sugaro, whether it's due to his kind of bantery, irreverent attitude, or that she has to sit there watching him snog Aya in order to get her powers all the time. I mean, to be fair, I mean, nobody wants to see their crush making out with somebody they can't stand. So that is perfectly understandable. And I like how the series is split into three definite parts. Once we've got the introductions out of the way, you have the first mystery, which is them solving the murder of a vampire's wife. You then have their daring do in London, where they try and stop Arsene Lupin, yes, that one, steal a werewolf diamond with the help of the Phantom of the Opera. Yes, that Phantom of the Opera. And they also seem to have a bit of yaoi going on, if this series wasn't gay enough already. And finally, that leads us to the third part of the story, which is where they're investigating a series of murders in a werewolf village. And I've got to commit slight sacrilege and say, however much I enjoy the kind of crossovery fanficky elements, I do slightly prefer the ones that are original stories, or rather, they're probably not original in that they're adapted from the light novel series, but they don't have a flock of characters from Victorian fiction in there. Because when that happens, it's fun and it's enjoyable and it's good seeing these characters in different settings. But you do worry that other viewers might be there just for them rather than the main three, because I got into this show because I love Aya and Sugaro and Shizuku. I didn't want these other characters stealing the spotlight from them. And I just felt like there were too many members of Banquet. I didn't feel like they needed Alistair Crowley, who for some reason has been reimagined as a sexy fop with magical powers, when if you check Alistair Crowley on Wikipedia, he did not look like that. And this brings us to the only complaint I have about the series, in which that Jack the Ripper is another member of Banquet. And I really don't like Jack the Ripper being used in anything unless it is actually about him, because trying to make him into some sexy, charismatic bad guy when he was a serial killer who preyed upon and gruesomely killed women, I just don't. That does not sit well with me, particularly since he does murder a woman in this series. And admittedly, I could partly be upset about this because I liked the character he killed, Fatima, because she was one of the monster exterminators. And I felt she had a lot of potential. I felt that she was set up to be sufficiently sympathetic that it looked like that she might end up becoming their friend instead. But of course, that was never realized because she got horribly murdered by Jack. And in such a disposable way too, it was offensive. So while everybody else was marveling at the cool fight between him and Sugaro, because it turns out that he's part demon too, I just thought, what is this for? Why are we doing this? I seriously believe they could have cut out that character and it would have had no impact on the story. They could have just made it somebody else, made it some other character from literature. They could have made it, I don't know, Mr. Hyde or someone. why they had to bring in an actual real life serial killer, unless it is to go, oh, this is set in Victorian times and this is one of the few things that you dopes might know about it. But that left a nasty taste in my mouth, I'll admit, and I'm not happy with that choice. So I personally would reduce Banquet down to Moriarty and a handful of others, because they're not the focus of the story. You don't want to have your bad guy have too many evil minions, and it is better to have them be characters who, well, in this case, are supernatural and not so well known. I mean, okay, arguably the creature in Frankenstein is very well known, but exploring different sides of his personality, which arguably the show already has done to a certain extent. One thing that really stands out to me about this series is it's funny, because you would think, going by the subject matter, that it would be all edgy and moody, but it's not. There are moments that are just so silly, and many of them involve Suguro. The guy does just seem to be walking comic gold. I mean, there is a particular instance where, okay, your opinion might vary, where they end up by a bench with another cage on it, and you can guess what's going to happen. Even though it's telegraphed from a mile away, it's still so funny when he realizes that he's walked off with somebody's parrot rather than Aya. And when we get back to Aya, she's rolled out into the middle of the road and looks so pissed off. And this is one of the few instances where you think, oh God, being just ahead would be so problematic. You wouldn't be able to do anything. You wouldn't be able to rescue yourself if you got into danger, and the worst things could happen to you. I mean, I know in the last time we talked about this, Ruth mentioned your head getting flushed down the toilet, but just the possibilities of terrible things happening to a head are endless, not least because if you try to call out to help from anybody, people would just be freaked out and go, ah, a talking disembodied head. And this being obviously a very superstitious part of history, you'll be more likely, I don't know, well, not burnt as a witch, because that is over and done with, but something ghastly would happen to you. I mean, maybe you'd get sold to Phineas Barnum or somebody and end up being in a freak show, I don't know, but either way it wouldn't be good. And some people did say, oh, this reminds me a bit too much of this show and that show, but I haven't seen any of those shows, so I don't care. To me, it is all new and fresh and exciting. It became the highlight of my week. I just looked so forward to it, knowing that I was going to be catching up with their escapades. And in fact, I didn't realise that there were 13 episodes rather than 12. So I remember watching the last one and thinking, well, that's a bit of a strange place to end the series, because it naturally ended without the murder being solved. And I was thinking, are they going to carry this over into season two? Because that doesn't seem like a great idea, because what if season two isn't commissioned? Then we'll never know who did it. And I do like, even though Aya makes fun of Sherlock Holmes, calling him a weirdo, which obviously she doesn't when she actually meets him, but still, she still has his moral pragmatism. As you'll see, if you watch the series, that she doesn't 100% work closely with the law, that sometimes she does make her own decisions, her own judgments about what should happen to the villains. I mean, Suguro does this too. They are both, I wouldn't say vigilantes per se, but they definitely have their own concept of justice. I don't know whether it's due to them being anti-heroes or supernatural beings, but they definitely don't think that the rules apply to them a lot of the time. But that's what makes them such engaging protagonists, I think. You can't really anticipate what they're going to do at any given time, which does make them feel far more real. And again, why I would rather watch them than the classic characters, however much I normally like them in shows or films of their own. I really am trying to rack my brain and think of things that I didn't care for other than that, and I seriously can't think of anything, you know. Because I didn't even mind Darcy and Lupin being a werewolf, seemingly, because it made sense to me. Because if he later joins forces with Banquet, as I strongly suspect he will, then it makes sense. They've already got a vampire and a magician and a zombie, I guess you would call Frankenstein's monster. So it does make sense. And the whole idea of monstrous detectives solving monster crimes, I mean, okay, it's not unique. We've seen it in various other incarnations, but there's just so much scope for it. You could do anything. You could do characters from Japanese mythology. You could do them from absolutely anywhere. And, that was a really good sequence, by the way, in the middle of the mystery about Lupin stealing the diamond. You have Suguro talking about a Japanese legend, and that is fantastically animated, that sequence. So I really enjoyed that. I hope they do more of that in future, that they have it drawing upon Suguro's heritage, because I don't want him and Shizuku to be the random roving Asian characters, because that's something that irritates me when you get shows where you have just one or two Asian characters, particularly set in these times where you have people reacting to them. I mean, I know it's period appropriate racism and it would happen, but it gets kind of boring after a while. So I hope we do see more of his culture and more of them interacting with other characters. And I definitely want to see more of Shizuku. So this is a problem that I sometimes have when I review a show and I think it's amazing. I just really struggle for things to think of things to say about it, because bitching about something is always fun, but gushing about it might, I don't know, feel like you're laying it on too thick and that you're just basically going to your listeners, watch this. But I have to say, do, if you want something that's different, if you want something that will stretch your brain a bit. So if you like gothic fiction and supernatural things, then I certainly think that this would be the show for you. And it doesn't have some of the things that you get in Black Butler. I mean, I think if you've read the manga or watched the show, you'll know what I mean. But this, for the time being, it is just a solid series without so many of the bits in anime that make you feel slightly bleh. So I can't honestly think of anything else to say other than I do believe it's the best show that I've watched this year, and I'm fervently hoping that it was popular enough to get a second season, because I don't know how to compare it against other anime at the time, and I saw some people talking about it, but when you consider that it goes up against such heavy hitters in the industry, especially returning series, then, and of course it's based on light novels as well, so those might not be as readily available to the Western market, but we'll see. I mean, I'll be cautiously optimistic. I think if this season was enough to go by, then I think it will. I mean, I don't even mind waiting a little longer for it. I mean, hopefully not 10 years as happened with the devil is a part-timer, but I'm willing to wait a year or two. So, yeah, I think that's everything I've got to say about Undead Girl Murder Farce. And I know it was originally meant to be the Halloween episode, but to be fair, you can watch it any time of year and it would still be freaking awesome. So until next time, love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter. And on Facebook, our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.